To find out how you can reach Latino USA's listeners, visit us online at latinousa.org/support.
From NPR, it's Latino USA. Every year, tens of thousands of undocumented students graduate from American high schools, only to hit a wall. These students aren't eligible for government aid for college, and they can't legally work. It's a tough situation for many kids, but today, we meet a young man determined to succeed despite his undocumented status.
I kind of just got to this certain point of my life where I just felt like I just needed to be completely, you know, bare and honest with somebody, and I didn't want to live with this mask, you know, for the rest of my life.
Stay with us as we continue our documentary series, American Dreamer, Sam's Story. I'm Maria Hinojosa.
This is news from Latino USA. I'm Angela Maldonado. Toyota Motor Corporation's Mexican outlet reports that 5,000 cars have been worked on, or about 600 per day. The cars are being serviced for possible accelerator pedal problems as part of a larger U.S., Europe, and China recall. Models affected include the RAV4, Matrix, Camry, Highlander, Tundra, Sequoia, and Corolla. Toyota estimates that the recall affects 30,000 cars in Mexico. An update from Haiti. French President Nicolas Sarkozy has promised $400 million in aid. The money will go towards reconstruction and emergency aid. $40 million has also been marked to support the Haitian government. Sarkozy's trip to Haiti marked the first time a French president has visited the island since its independence from France. France and Haiti's troubled history came out through protests of people passing out flyers, blaming France for enslaving Haiti. Sarkozy made comments from the French embassy, acknowledging the, quote, wounds of colonization. In response to the earthquake's devastation on the island, France has forgiven Haiti's $77 million debt. Citizens of Puerto Rico will have to apply for new birth certificates as of this July. Island-issued certificates will become invalid as the federal government tries to cut down on identity theft and immigration fraud. The U.S. has seen a 40% increase on fraud cases. Puerto Rico will also ban anyone from having a certificate that's not theirs. Black market birth certificates are going for as much as $5,000 to $10,000. Some news from California. The Mexican American Legal Defense and Education Fund, or MALDEF, has joined as co-counsel to a discrimination suit filed against the nonprofit AARP. The suit was filed in Sacramento County by former employee Michael Moreno. His lawyers are alleging that AARP is in the practice of not promoting Latino or Native American employees. Moreno cites instances where he was denied promotions and job opportunities after his position was eliminated. Moreno was a former associate director for advocacy. AARP has a membership of 40 million and has offices in all 50 states, Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands. According to a study released by the UCLA Higher Education Research Institute, more college-bound Latinos are attending schools away from home. Researchers cited a 13% increase of students moving away, which included factors such as a rising Latino middle class and harder recruitment of Latinos at colleges in the Midwest and New England. A 2007 U.S. Department of Education survey cites 27% of Latinos aged 18 to 24 were enrolled in college. A Boston Globe survey on faculty diversity among the prominent universities in the area show low numbers for tenured Black and Latino professors. Boston University, the city's largest school, has only 3.4% of tenured Black and Latino faculty. This number has pretty much stayed the same over the past 10 years. The survey adds to a two-year report done by MIT that chronicles the experience of Black and Latino professors in the workplace. Nationwide, 8.8% of Black and Latino professors are tenured. Morrissey and Most Deaf have joined the organization Vote Latinos campaign to urge U.S. Latinos to take part in the 2010 census. Both artists will contribute a track to an album that will be available to people who pledge to take part in the census. Other artists filling out the CD include Pitbull, Ruben Blades, and Rodrigo y Gabriela. In Texas, local organization Vida Español Austin returns for a fourth year to perform the vagina monologues made popular by Eve Ensler.
Talking about your sexuality and vaginas, your body parts, you know, it's very taboo in our Latino communities. We thought that the monologue should be brought in Spanish to our Latino community. So here we are four seasons later, still talking about vaginas and liberating Austin from it.
That's director and co-organizer Veronica Hernandez. Proceeds from the performances will benefit Artesana, a Latina-led organization committed to ending sexual violence.
We hope that the audience can reflect the performances that we're giving, the literature that we're reading, and we just hope that they pull, you know, from whatever monologue, you know, good things and make positive changes in their own lives, in their own communities. If there's violence going on in their family, you know, I hope that they're able to break the silence.
The vagina monologues have been translated into 65 languages and are part of a worldwide movement to end violence against women. This has been News from Latino USA. I'm Angela Maldonado. For more news alerts, visit us at latinousa.org.
It's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Last December, we brought you the story of Sam, an 18-year-old student from Elkhart, Indiana. He came to this country as a young boy with his family, but when their visas expired, they stayed. Sam started school and kept busy with studies, something he was good at, and by the time he finished high school, he had an honors diploma and an award for his sax playing in the jazz band. College was the obvious next step. But as Sam applied, he began to realize he wasn't eligible for loans or grants. Some schools wouldn't accept him because he's undocumented.
The whole college process was really frustrating. When they say, are you a citizen of the U.S. or a citizen of Mexico? I'm like, I don't know. I almost feel like E.T., alien.
Sam's family scraped together enough money to pay the first tuition installment. And last fall, Sam started classes at the University of Indiana at South Bend as a music performance major. Long Haul Productions, Dan Collison, and Elizabeth Meister checked in on Sam. And we have the next installment of our series, American Dreamer, Sam's Story.
C flat is B.
No C flat. A flat is B flat. C is D.
Oh.
It's my second day of classes here at IUSB, otherwise known as Indiana University of South Bend.
Do you need a moment to work out the riff?
I got it.
Okay, cool.
Dude, I had like no clue what I was doing at first.
One more time. One, two, a one, two, three, four.
This is going to be sweet. And once I get the theory down, it's going to be even cooler because I'll understand what's actually going on, you know, what does what. This will give me the tools to go on further in my pursuit of, I guess you could say, happiness. After like the first or second week, I saw how much stuff I needed to buy. My lessons teacher, she says, well, you need to buy this book and this book and this book, and you don't need this book, but it'd be recommended, and you need to buy this tuner, this metronome, and I started thinking, wow, this isn't my saxophone. I need a saxophone. And I thought, man, I haven't gotten that job, or am I going to get a next semester because of money? It just, the whole money problem just freaks, you know, me out. As undocumented residents, it's going to be a lot harder. And I started doubting myself and wondering if music is really where I was. And I really wanted to change majors. And then Friday happened, and I started thinking differently. What happened was, I was in performance lab, and this piano player comes up. I was expecting, you know, a 5-minute piece. The piece turns out to be like 23 minutes, all memorized, and the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. she hit this chord, and physically my chest went warm, and I was like, whoa. And it kind of gave me that funny feeling in my stomach and those butterflies and everything that everybody gets once they fall in love with something. I wasn't thinking about, man, my situation sucks. I just smiled and closed my eyes and then was just really, really happy for a second. And it hasn't been something I felt for a long, long, long time. She made me feel what she was feeling. And if I could make someone feel what she made me feel, I think it's a reason to keep playing. I mean, it was just the jumpstart I needed. We're at my first paying gig, I guess you could say. It's at Fly Traps, a restaurant here in downtown Elkhart, my hometown. And we're playing at a fundraiser.
Yes, we've had hard times, and we've got a long way to go. But our aim is to make sure that there is world-class arts expression here.
This looks like, you know, really kind of high-class people walking around, talking, a little champagne, a little wine, checking out some art. I'm gonna get $50 out of this, so not bad for just 2 hours. I mean, for doing something I like, hey, I like this. So here I am at this gig, but none of these people here know that I'm undocumented. I'm not legally supposed to be here. None of my band members know. None of my professors know. Not even my closest friends know, up until now. Right now, we are at the Daily Grind over here in Elkhart. I'm about to tell Carly, a really, really good friend of mine from high school. I guess I could say who I am, really.
Hey!
Hey.
Hi.
What's
up? How are you?
I kind of just got to this certain point of my life where I just felt like I just needed to be completely, you know, bare and honest with somebody, and I didn't want to live with this mask, you know, for the rest of my life.
Jeez. relax, chill. No one's gonna die. So,
okay. This isn't easy for me, but, you know, whatever. I hate even saying it. Like, I'm an undocumented kid, basically. I came here when I was young, like 5, 4-ish. And, like, we've tried to get right ever since, but it hasn't worked. And, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, can't have a job, can't have a license, can't have a bank account. Can't really go to school with help. Had to pay out of my own pocket. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you're, like, in shell shock or what's going on, but it's always really weird telling people this because, like, I'm not sure if they're still going to like me or whatever. And, like, I understand if you're weirded out and you want to get up and leave right now.
Well, Sam, I hate to break it to you, but I don't think any less of you because of it. If anything, it's just another obstacle in the way of the journey. You know what I'm saying? Because I also think of you as one of my best friends. So it's just my instant reaction was, oh, my gosh, how can I help him? You know, what can I do? What can I do? So, you know, it's... I don't think any less of you. I'm so proud of you. I mean, how could you? I can't imagine going in your shoes.
Like, well, at least the biggest part of, like, the freak out is gone. But yeah, dude, like, that's what's going on.
Like, I don't think it's sunk in yet, to be completely honest. I mean, because I was like, why isn't he going to this some great college or whatever? And his SAT scores couldn't have been that bad. Because I remember you said you were worried about him, but it wasn't connecting. And looking back, I guess I should have put it together, but I don't know. I guess I take everything for granted, like living here and just having, you know, access to everything. I take it for granted so much that I'm still in shock.
My name's Derek McBride. He told me about 2 weeks ago about his status as far as citizenship.
He was just sitting there and he put his elbows on the table and I think he took off his glass and he just kind of just like just held his head and he's like, what?
The first reaction I had when he told me that was, so what? It didn't change a thing, like the way I felt about him as a person or who he was or whatever. It was just like thinking about the implications of what that means for him.
And I could tell he was thinking, because he came up with a question. He's like, so
what do you do if you have to go to the doctor? What happens if you're driving and you get pulled over? Like, what would happen? And I was like scared. It almost felt like I could lose this guy at any time, you know? So I almost started to feel like really selfish, like, and I wanted to protect him and just keep him around as long as I could, because he's been such a big part of my life for these like 6 years or so.
My name is Austin Connor. I went through high school with Sam at Central. I've probably known him really well for about 4 years.
I told him at McDonald's. It was late one night. Cause I was struggling, and I was like, should I tell him? Should I not tell him? Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. It was just like kind of battle in my head, and I finally went with yes.
When he did tell me, I kind of felt bad, because when he didn't have a job and he didn't have a car before, you kind of think, you know, I've had a job for like 3 years now. You should probably be getting a job, Sam. You're going to college, you know.
He's like, dude, when are you going to get a car? I was like, oh, soon. So yeah. When are you going to get your license? Oh, soon. I'm working on it.
I definitely picked on him a little bit about not having a license. I should have known, you know, he's such a upstanding guy. He would have been doing that if he was able to. Because, like, now you're becoming an adult, and now is when you need those freedoms that come with that. And it's almost preventing you from becoming an adult.
It's almost heartbreaking to me because, I mean, this guy's been my friend for so long, and I never realized like how much he's being held back from being the person he truly is, like at his core.
There's also a flip side to that, whereas you've had to find ways around, you know, not having a job and not having a car. So I think that certainly would bring another kind of maturity that, you know, someone like me, it's kind of like I've pampered a little bit, you know, with respect to you, whereas I'm sure you've grown from that in a way that I haven't yet.
So where are we headed?
Okay, on Mishawaka, you're going to take a left.
Okay. I guess I just feel so much more lucky to know this guy. I just never realized how strong he is as a person to have to deal with these things. And I just will give him rides endlessly for all time if it means that he's going to remain here and, you know, thrive.
Turn right here and see if there's like any spots right there. It's like a floral shop, so I'm going to a place where about a month ago I went to go buy a flower, and I asked them if they had any open spots available, and he said come back in about a month and we might have something for you.
I'll be right back.
You know, if I could think of people who deserve to be here and to take all the opportunities in that this country has to offer to raise up a solid family like his parents have with, you know, their three kids. I mean, I just feel like he's a citizen just like everybody else, and the only thing that's holding him back is, you know, some paperwork.
Sugar. No, dude. Like, it's just, like, really slow in there. He's like, no, we don't have anything, you know. So, I don't know. Sucks, dude. I was really hoping the flower shop would be kind of still of an option, but now it's starting to seem less of an option. Sugar.
Stay with us as American Dreamer continues.
Hi, it's me again. This podcast of Latino USA is made possible by contributors to public radio stations. They help pay the freight and cover the costs of making the program available to you to hear when it's convenient. If you're already a member of your public radio station, thanks. If you're not, I hope you'll rethink that decision and make a contribution to support this program and others like it. Visit us at latinousa.org to find a public radio station near you and join the ranks of El Pueblo que Escucha Latino USA. Also, great opportunities exist for companies and organizations to reach the Latino USA audience online, on air, and through these weekly podcasts. If you're interested in having a tremendous impact on the production of this program, consider underwriting Latino USA. For more information, visit us at latinousa.org/support. And thanks for listening. We continue now with American Dreamer as Sam keeps looking for work. He needs the money to stay in college.
Jobs are a necessity, you know, to keep yourself alive, basically. Now that I'm by myself, Dad's giving me $30 a week, you know, spending money. So I'm trying to cut corners here and there. I'm not eating as much. I hope I'm losing weight. I mean, I don't want to do it this way, but if it happens this way, sure, I'll take that.
Right now we're going to a Mexican restaurant around here near IUSB, see if there's anything, you know, I could do for them, you know. Wish me luck. Okay, so you gave me an application, but questionable things are on here, like social security number, if you are 18 years of age, can you provide a work permit? Of course not. Are you a citizen of the United States? Of course not. I wish I was. If not, are you legally allowed to work in the United States? Nope. So I don't know about this. Shoot. So it almost seems like my options are dwindling.
We were just talking like a half an hour ago about how easy it is to do things the wrong way. You know, I mean, he could go, you know, get a fake this or a fake that, but he's taking like the hard road and basically taking a huge risk.
I have a job opportunity at a scream park. It's a haunted house kind of deal, and they need a saxophone player. You know, it seemed pretty cool up until yesterday when he told me that there's going to be a stripper, like, right next to the band, and I wasn't too into that. If I need a job, like, absolutely need something, I'll go there, but that's, like, the last resort.
He could probably get a car, you know, if he get a fake license, and he could get a job, and he could survive, but that's not who he is. I mean, he wants to do the right thing. I mean, I can't think of many people who are just a better dude than Sam.
For some reason, this quote just kind of came to mind from the movie 300 about the Spartans and the Persians.
Our arrows are so vast in number they will block out the sun, or something like that.
Our arrows will blot out the sun.
Then we will fight in the shade.
So we'll fight in the shade.
So we'll fight in the shade.
I think that's kind of essentially what I'm doing, I guess. I mean, we want a better life, you know. We want something better for our families. We're trying to, you know, get our kids into college. But all those blocks in the road just seem sometimes just relentless, and you can't get through them. But you can't always be fighting in the light. You got to find somewhere else.
Next week on Latino USA, Sam steps out of the shadows, telling his story and playing his sax on the biggest stage there is, New York City.
Please rise for the national anthem performed by Sam, an honor student and recipient of the Woody Herman Outstanding Jazz Award from Elkhart, Indiana.
It's a little weird to be asked to play the national anthem of a country that I'm not really of, I guess you could say. In deep down inside, yeah, sure, I'm of this country, but legally I'm not, and I'm not being recognized.
That's next week on Latino USA.
American Dreamer, Sam's Story, is produced by Dan Collison and Elizabeth Meister for Long Haul Productions. The program editor is Katie Davis. Go to our website for more on American Dreamer, latinousa.org. Some of you have actually been to the site and you left us emails about American Dreamer. We want to share them with you now. Lorna Hall left this message. I was very moved by Sam's story. My mother, Vivian Hall, was a high school teacher and one of the first in her district to teach Latin American history to her Westminster, California students, some of whom were undoubtedly undocumented. Thank you for your terrific program. I always enjoy listening. Linda Stetson was up early to listen to part one of American Dreamer in San Diego, and she wrote to us, "It was 5:30 a.m., and as I listened to Sam's story, my tears began to flow. As a teacher, I worked primarily with limited English proficient students, and I thought of all the students who were, like Sam, both gifted and hardworking, and then one day, it was all over." Stetson adds, "that we all lose from this unjust situation. I seriously await the final outcome of Sam's story. I would like to believe that somehow Sam and his parents and his counselor found a way to make his dream come true. In the meantime, I vow today to become involved in working toward getting immigration reform passed, and we can all be winners." But S. Dobrensky sees it differently. He wrote in, and to focus on Sam's family, why, he wrote, did Sam's parents act so irresponsibly and put him in this difficult position? "I came to the U.S. on a temporary visa with my family, but would not have stayed illegally and put them in such a difficult position. It's appalling that Sam's parents would raise him without the prospect of being able to drive, study, or work. I understand that they don't know the systems involved, but they admit that they kept this secret. The moral of this story is that it never pays to deceive, and breaking the law will eventually catch up with you or your children." Finally, Casey actually wrote in, "How is Sam doing now that an entire semester has passed?" Well, tune in next week, Casey, and all of you, to find out what happens next. And keep writing us about our documentary, American Dreamer, and anything else about our show. Go to our website, latinousa.org, to be in touch. For this week, this has been Latino USA. Thanks for listening. Visit us online anytime at latinousa.org. Production support for Latino USA comes from KUT Radio, the University of Texas at Austin, and the William and Salome Scanlon Foundation of Austin and San Antonio. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Join us again next week for another edition of NPR's Latino USA.
Support for NPR is provided by Civic Ventures, presenting the Purpose Prize to people who solve major social problems in their Encore careers. Nominations at purposeprize.org. By the Doris Duke Charitable Foundation, supporting the performing arts, environmental conservation, medical research, and the prevention of child abuse. And by the Melville Charitable Trust, supporting efforts to find and fight the causes of homelessness. On the web at melvilletrust.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio. To find out how you can reach Latino USA's listeners, visit us online at latinousa.org/support.